In your Bibles tonight, Proverbs chapter number 6, and we're looking at this character, the character of the sluggard or the slothful, and they're the same person and described at length throughout the book of Proverbs, and you do not want to be a sluggard or slothful. And we're learning from these folks, and we're asking God to teach us from His Word. If you look with me in Proverbs chapter number 6, beginning in verse number 6, the Bible says, "Go to the ant, thou sluggard, consider her ways and be wise, which having no guide, overseer, or ruler, provideth her meat in the summer, and gathereth her food in the harvest. How long wilt thou sleep, O sluggard? When wilt thou arise out of thy sleep? Yet a little sleep, a little slumber, a little folding of the hands to sleep, so shall thy poverty come as one that traveleth, and thy want as an armed man." Go to the ant, thou sluggard. This is a beautiful picture here of the contrary, the opposite of the sluggard. And the Bible says, look at the ant. And the ant has so many characteristics, who has no ruler, master, overseer, yet he provides and gathers and is diligent about his work. God did not save His people to be lazy and sorry. I remember as a college student, you for the first time you live in a place with a lot of folks that aren't in your family. And I remember being in the dormitory, and I remember one part of my Bible reading was reading through the Proverbs. And honestly, I wasn't reading through the Proverbs with the right attitude, because I was mad and angry and aggravated at a lot of the guys that was in my dorm. I couldn't believe how sorry some of these guys who's called themselves preachers were. And I remember reading through my Bible, and I lost this particular copy of the Bible that I had. And maybe the Lord wanted me to lose it. Someone picked it up one day. But I remember going through these Proverbs and writing the letter C. It stood for Crown College. I was thinking about the guys that I was around in the dorm, and every time I'd come to something, these bums, I remember thinking, man, they need this. If I get a chance to preach in dorms, I'm going to let them have it. Because there's no room for that. There's no room for that for the sluggard, the lazy, the slothful, and the preacher. There's no room for that in God's people. God's designed us to be productive. God's designed us to put forth effort, and there just shouldn't be sorry Christians. There are, but there shouldn't be. May God help us to learn from the lesson and the passage of Scripture in regards to the sluggard. The sluggard and the slothful is a word that's used interchangeably in this passage of Scripture, and the definition is rather simple. They're sluggish, lazy, laxness, slackness. It's kind of interesting to me that the sluggard is a word that gave name later to a bug that we do not like, the slug. How many of you have ever seen a slug? How many of you have ever taught you that you put salt on a slug? It's cruel, isn't it? We exterminate slugs, and I've learned to exterminate them, and I don't know if that's the best idea or not, but I haven't done it in a long time. I have not seen some in a while. Maybe it's the Morton salt has took advantage of the slug population. But the word sluggard, actually the slug gets its name from the sluggard because he just drags along. And actually drags along and leaves a dirty mess behind him everywhere he goes. The sluggard and the slug and the slothful. Isn't it interesting? I thought about telling you the official name of a sloth. You seen the animal, the sloth that moves so fast? I mean so slow. But the actual formal name, scientific name of the sloth, it was too hard to pronounce, so I just said forget it. And you'll get the point. The slothful man, the word that describes a slothful person, has been used to describe the animal that moves very slowly. It moves very slowly. Slothful. We don't want to be that person. The sluggard, the slothful, lazy, laxness, slackness. The sluggard. Now, there's some things I want you to see in God's Word, and I work our way through this passage of Scripture. The first thing I want to think about tonight is the character of the sluggard. The character of the sluggard. There's a list of things that we can find as we look through God's Word together. If you'd turn with me in your Bibles to Proverbs chapter 10, we're going to look at a number of verses here. Proverbs chapter number 10 and verse 26. As we consider the slothful and the sluggard, he is both unprofitable and obnoxious to other people. The Bible says in Proverbs 10 and verse 26, as vinegar to the teeth and as smoke to the eyes, so is the sluggard to them that send him. Isn't that something? If you want to be utterly unprofitable to the people around you, then be a lazy bum. The Bible says not only are you unprofitable, but you are obnoxious. Look what the Bible says here. As vinegar to the teeth. You know something I've been hearing about folks that have had corona and have lost their taste? They still get a reaction in their mouths to vinegar. And the Bible says as vinegar to the teeth. That nature of vinegar is rough. As vinegar to the teeth and as smoke to the eyes. How many of you love it when you're sitting by the campfire and all of a sudden the wind blows just the right way and finds beauty? How many of y'all do that? If smoke follows beauty? I'm always getting smoke in my face. It's terrible. It's obnoxious. It hurts. The Bible says, like vinegar to the teeth and smoke to the eyes, so is the sluggard to them that send him. You can't trust him. Now, I'll just tell you, if you want to be untrustworthy, unprofitable, obnoxious to others, then be a sluggard. But that's not what I want for my life. Look what the Bible says again in chapter number 13. In chapter number 13 and verse number 4. Not only is a sluggard unprofitable and obnoxious to others, but a sluggard is unfulfilled. And ends up and spends his life empty-handed. Proverbs chapter 13, verse 4, the Bible says, the soul of the sluggard desireth and hath nothing, but the soul of the diligent shall be made fat. Have you ever been around somebody that complained a lot about what they did not have? If you look really closely, you'll find folks who complain about what they do not have to be folks who are unwilling to do what is necessary to have what they need. Now look, work is an important part of our lives. We don't work to get saved. Hallelujah. You can't work to get saved. But it should be in our hearts to be productive. It's unfulfilling to be unproductive. The Bible says the soul of the sluggard desireth. He wants stuff. He wants things. He wants provisions. He wants honor. He wants opportunity. But he desires and has nothing. Why? Because he's a sluggard. He's lazy. The soul of the diligent shall be made fat. Look back in the previous chapter, Proverbs chapter 12 and verse 24. This is a sad instance and identification of the character of the sluggard. He's forced to work. The Bible says in Proverbs chapter 12, verse 24, the hand of the diligent shall bear rule, but the slothful shall be under tribute. Now the Bible says a diligent man, he'll rule and he'll have an opportunity. Without a master, he'll do his work. But the Bible says the slothful shall be under tribute. I enjoyed studying and looking at that word tribute. In another place in the Scripture, the word tribute is used as a tax. How many of you love to pay taxes? And just because you want to, you say, here you go, Mr. IRS. Here's a big extra check and just a little something extra for you for Christmas. What do you think? How many of you do that? No. You give tribute because you have to. And this passage of Scripture, in its context, lends to this idea, this notion that the sluggard, he is under tribute. Literally, the definition, as I found it, I studied, was a labor gang, forced labor, forced service. The slothful, he will not provide for himself and thus is forced to provide for himself, is forced to work. The chain gang, so to say. Isn't that sad? It's a sad place to be. It's not where you want to be, but it's the product of the slothful and the sluggard. The hand of the diligent shall bear rule, but the slothful shall be under tribute. Not only is he forced to work, but he's wasteful. In the same chapter, verse 27, you look at it with me? Chapter 12, verse 27, the Bible says, "The slothful man roasteth not that which he took in hunting, but the substance of the diligent man is precious." Now, we don't want to be wasteful. Isn't that a fascinating verse in the Proverbs? "A slothful man roasteth not that which he took in hunting." He takes for granted what he has. He takes for granted what has been provided for him by God. "But the substance of a diligent man is precious." We should take care of our things. We shouldn't worship our things. We shouldn't be afraid to use our things. But we should take care of the things that God has provided for us. It's a product and it's an evidence of a man that is diligent as opposed to slothful. Slothful man is wasteful. Don't turn here, but in chapter 18, verse 9, the Bible says, "He also that is slothful in his work is brother to him that is a great waster." He says, if you're slothful in your work, he says, you're brother to him that is a great waster. He says, you're kin. If you're slothful at work, you're also a great waster. I thought for a minute, what in the world does that mean? And I just happened to dawn on me what happens. What happens if you spend your life slothful in your work? What happens at the end of your life? You look back and say, wow, what a great life I've lived. No. If you're slothful in work, you're a great waster of the most important resource that you could ever have. It's the days of your life. May God help us not to be a great waster. I did something the other night, and I promise I'm not casting judgment on men that wear pajamas. But I saw a pajama commercial on television. And it's talking about men binge watching television shows and men lounging for the day. And, you know, that's fine. There's a Sabbath. We should rest. And rest is okay. Rest is biblical. But I'll just have you know something. The Sabbath only happens 1 out of 7 days. Right? And I watched this men's pajama commercial, and it just made me mad. I had to repent of my anger. It just aggravated me to no end that there's a big enough market that someone would buy a men's pajama company and a men's pajama commercial. I thought, oh, this is terrible. What's this world coming to? May God help us not to be sluggards and slothful. "He that is slothful in his work is brother to him that is a great waster." I don't want to waste my life. Evidently, somebody was singing that song first thing this morning. I think Mom may have been singing it here this morning early in preparation for tonight. And because I've been singing that song, I want my life to count for Jesus. I've been singing it in my heart all day long. As I think about the sluggard and the slothful, and the temptation that it is to just be lazy. I'm reminded once again, and a fire boils inside of my soul, that I want my life to count for Jesus. You see, the slothful sluggard, the character of the sluggard, he's wasteful. Not only that, but his life is characterized by difficulty. Look in your Bibles to chapter number 15 and verse number 19. Chapter number 15 and verse number 19. The Bible says, "The way of the slothful man is as a hedge of thorns, but the way of the righteous is made plain." Do you know that the life of a sluggard is very difficult? The Bible says, "A diligent man, his way is made plain." You work and you work diligently, and it's amazing the things that you accidentally take care of, not even knowing it, just by being diligent. The Bible says the life of a sluggard is like a hedge of thorns. How many of you ever tried to make it through a hedge of thorns? You can't do it. It's very difficult. Every turn you take, something's stuck in your side. Every turn you take, there's regret. Every turn you take and step you move forward, there's more trouble along the way. You see, the life of a sluggard is characterized by difficulty. Now, I want you to think about something. Those of you who are students, if you're lazy about your work at school, guess what happens? The product of being a sluggard means it's difficult to move forward, Don't waste your life. Whatever you do, do it heartily as unto the Lord. You'll be glad you did, because the life of a sluggard is characterized by difficulty. A sluggard avoids responsibility. Look in chapter number 19. Look in chapter number 19. In verse number 15. The slothful, the sluggard, avoids responsibility. The Bible says in verse number 9, chapter 18. I'm sorry, verse number 19. Verse number 15. Proverbs 19:15. How's that? For real this time. 19:15. The Bible says, "Slothfulness casteth into a deep sleep, and an idle soul shall suffer hunger." Look at verse 24 of the same chapter. "A slothful man hideth his hand in his bosom, and will not so much as bring it to his mouth again." Slothfulness casts a deep sleep. Here's something interesting about slothfulness. Laziness. You know what laziness promotes? More laziness. Laziness promotes more laziness. I'll just tell you, every morning of my life, it is a fight to get out of bed. I don't like it. How many of you hate mornings? I'm with you. But I have to make myself get out of bed. You know what happens every morning, though? The older I get, it seems to be getting easier, and I'm thankful for that. I've been praying for years, "Lord, help me in the mornings." But what happens is, you know, if you get up, even if it hurts, the only thing that really hurts is the first about 10 minutes. And after those first 10 minutes, it seems like you can get a little bit of spark and a little bit of interest. And, you know, after 10 or 15 minutes, I don't want to go back to bed. I'm ready to go. But what happens? If you smack the snooze and you smack the snooze, more slumber leads to more slumber. And laziness is the same. Now, there's nothing wrong with sleeping in every now and then, but honestly, we should be careful about being lazy. Do you know what laziness produces? More laziness. And that's what the text says here. The slothful avoid responsibility. Slothfulness casts us into a deep sleep. And an idle soul shall suffer hunger. And the 24th verse, "A slothful man hideth his hand in his bosom, and will not so much as bring it to his mouth again." He hides from responsibility. And there's another passage of Scripture that goes to the same idea, where we hide our hands. And what happens is, if you hide your hands for very long, you get to the place where your hand won't even raise. Now, and this is serious business. I watch so many people that cannot walk, and for any person with a real handicap, it breaks my heart. Oh, it's so sad for someone to lose their mobility, and I hate it for folks. But I know that there's some contributing factors to some people's immobility. It is consistent and persistent slothfulness. Because if you don't use these trees that God gave you to walk on, guess what happens? Before you know it, you can't use them. Amen. And if you avoid every difficulty, now this is just practical stuff, but I'll just tell you, if the Lord will gives you the strength today in order to do a little walking, then you should do it. If the Lord gives you the ability today to do a little lifting and use your arms and use the muscles and the effort and the strength that you have, you should do it. You know what happens if you sit in a recliner all the time? You get to where you can't get out of it. And by the way, if you're looking for something to do, give me a call. We got plenty to do. And there's plenty of opportunity. May God help us. And it breaks my heart to see children who do not develop strength in their legs and their arms and their core and their souls to do something and accomplish something and to fulfill a task, but it's bred in our society that's not my job, or that's too hard, or that makes me uncomfortable. And God says, you're sluggard. God says you're slothful. And to avoid responsibility an opportunity. It's something that produces some terrible things. Not only does he avoid responsibility, but he also excuses responsibility. Look what the Bible says in chapter 20 and verse 4. The sluggard will not plow by reason of the cold. Therefore shall he beg and harvest and have nothing. Have you ever heard this? Ooh, I can't do that. It's too cold. The next thing you know, ooh, I can't do that. It's too hot. And the Bible says, the sluggard will not plow by reason of the cold, therefore shall he beg and harvest and have nothing. He excuses responsibility. Now look, I want to encourage you to do something. If there's something in your life that needs to be done, and you just keep making excuses about why you've not done it, I want to challenge you to do something. Do it this week. Just get started. Have you ever found out that if there's something that needs to be done, a mess that needs to be cleaned up, an work that needs to be accomplished, if you'll just start, have you found out and noticed that if you'll just start, it just seems to go a little bit easier after you've started it? I'm thankful for that. A sluggard excuses responsibility. The sluggard will not plow by reason of the cold. In verse number 13 of chapter 20, look at it with me. The Bible says, love not sleep, lest thou come to poverty. Open thine eyes, and thou shalt be satisfied with bread. Now look, we should sleep. But we shouldn't love sleep more than we do productivity. We shouldn't love leisure more than we love the opportunity to accomplish something with the lives that God's given us. The sluggard, the Bible says, should not love sleep. The sluggard loves sleep, and it produces poverty. Chapter 22, look at it with me. Chapter 22, verse 13. The sluggard excuses responsibility. The Bible says, the slothful man saith, there is a lion without. I shall be slain in the streets. You hear that excuse? He says, I might get eaten by a lion. It reminds me of a Jerry Clower joke. One of those Ledbetter boys for Jerry Clower's family, he was notorious for lying. Jerry Clower said he'd rather climb up in a tree and tell you a lie, stand on the ground and tell you the truth. And his daddy was trying to work on about lying, and lying all the time. And one day his mother had a group of her friends over for coffee, and they were all sitting in the living room, and all of a sudden this Ledbetter boy runs in the living room, and he says, there's a lion in the yard, there's a lion in the yard. So his mama said, you are going to have to stop that lion. She said, I want you to go upstairs to your bedroom, and I want you to pray, and I want you to ask God to give you forgiveness. And until God, you know God's giving you forgiveness, don't you come down here. What had happened is walked in the house, and there was a collie dog that had a new haircut, and they'd left a mane on that thing. A little time passes, and the boy makes his way down the steps, and his mama said, did you pray and ask God to forgive you for lying? Yes, ma'am. Did he hear you and answer you? She said, yes, ma'am. Well, what did God say to you? He said, God told me the first time he saw that dog, he thought it was a lion too. There's a lion. You know what the sluggard says? The sluggard says, you know what? I can't do that. I might get hurt. Now, I understand being safe and wise, and safety is something that we should take serious. But I'm afraid there's a lot of folks who use safety as an excuse to be lazy. The Bible says safety is of the Lord. You can take the Bible and you can explain to folks that we shouldn't do things that should jeopardize our lives. But you can also say and show from God's Word that there's an easy excuse, and folks like to use excuses like, there may be a lion. Hey, look, there's a zoo in Knoxville. Lions can travel a long way. Hey, I don't think I should mow my grass this summer. There could be a lion in the yard. There are bears around here, and people have been hurt by bears, right? Well, forget it, I'm not ever taking the trash out again. I could get maimed by a bear. Yeah. Ruth could beat me half to death too. But I'm going to live with her anyway. You know, we could come with all kinds of excuses. safety's of the Lord. You make sure that your notion for safety and your excuses for doing things are righteous and not just slothful. You see, the sluggard excuses responsibility. There's a lion in the street. There's a lion without. I shall be slain in the streets. The character of the sluggard, one last thing, dies as the product of his laziness. The sluggard dies as the product of his laziness. Look what the Bible says in verse chapter 21 and verse 25. The desire of the slothful killeth him. What's the slothful want? He wants to relax. He wants to get his pajamas on and binge watch television shows and not go to work and not be responsible provider for his kids and his wife. And that just happens to be the one that's on my nerves right now. But the desire of the slothful. What's the desire of the slothful? The slothful desires not to suffer. The slothful says, I don't want to suffer. I don't want to have to do that hard work. I don't want to sweat. I don't want to be sore. I don't want to get dirty. I don't want to suffer. The slothful says, I don't want to suffer. And his desires, I don't want to suffer. I don't want to be uncomfortable. But the product of his desire to not suffer is suffering and death. The Bible says in 21, chapter 21, verse 25, the desire of the slothful killeth him, for his hands refuse to labor. Isn't that something? You know what happens? If you make leisure the goal of your life, and laziness becomes your character, slothful and sluggardness is the thing that describes you, it kills you. How many people, because they've allowed their health to deteriorate to such a point that they can't get themselves up and down and in and out, their desire to fill their bellies has produced someone who has eaten themselves to death or leisured themselves to death. There's no room for that. The life of a Christian, we should determine not to be slothful. The sluggard dies as the product of his laziness and suffers, attempting not to suffer. Turn with me a couple pages over to chapter number 26. Chapter number 26, verse 13 through 16. The Bible says, the slothful man saith, there's a lion in the way, a lion in the streets. As the door turneth upon his hinges, so doth the slothful upon his bed. Do you know what the Bible says in another place? That the sleep of a diligent man is sweet. How many of you go to bed really tired and did it feel good to sleep when you've been really tired? The Bible says that the slothful man, even his rest, is not restful. As the door turneth upon his hinges, so doth the slothful upon his bed. The slothful hideth his hand in his bosom. It grieveth him to bring it again to his mouth. The sluggard is wiser in his own conceit, in his own eyes, than seven men that can render a reason. The sluggard is wiser in his own conceit. Someone told me a long time ago, I'll tell you about that guy. He works harder at trying to get out of work than it would take if he'd just do what he needed to do. Don't be that person. I think about our young people and as they're developing, don't be that person. And I think about adults, don't be that person. Don't work harder trying to get out of work than it would take just to do the job. He's wiser in his own conceit, in his own eyes. You see, that's the character of a sluggard. How many people want to sign up to be a sluggard? He paints a terrible picture, doesn't he? And rightfully so. The character of the sluggard. Number two, the picture of a sluggard. Turn back just a few pages, chapter 24. The picture of a sluggard. The Bible says, in case I've not showed you enough, I want to show you a whole picture of what a sluggard really looks like. I love this passage of Scripture. Chapter 24 and verse 30. The Bible says, I went by the field of the slothful. Close your eyes and imagine for just a minute. What's the field, the farm of a slothful man look like? I went by the field of the slothful and by the vineyard of the man void of understanding. And lo, it was all grown over with thorns, and nettles had covered the face thereof. And the stone wall thereof was broken down. Then I saw and considered it well. I looked upon it and received instruction. You see the picture of a slothful? The walls are coming down. The thorns and nettles have covered it up. You know what's amazing? If you let the thorns grow for a year, it's not too hard to cut them down. You let them grow for 2 or 3 years, or 4 or 5 years, and the longer it goes, the harder it is, the more damage that they do. I just wonder, is this the picture of your character right now? The Bible refers to our heart as a garden. Is the garden of your heart being tended to with diligence? Keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of the issues of life, are you allowing the thorns and the weeds and the nettles to grow up? Learn from the sluggard. Solomon said in regards to what he saw at the farm, at the field, at the vineyard of the sluggard, he said, I learned from it. He says, here's what I learned. Verse number 33. Yet a little sleep, a little slumber, a little folding of the hands to sleep. Does he say a lot? No. A little laziness here, a little sorriness there, a little laziness here, a little sluggardness there. A little sleep, a little slumber, a little folding of the hands to sleep. So shall thy poverty come, as one that traveleth, and thy want as an armed man. I'm excited about explaining to you verse 34. But we must move to the next point. You see the picture of the sluggard. Is this you? With the thorns growing in the garden of your heart, and tearing down the walls that protect you. Back in our text, the first text we read tonight for our last place, chapter number 6 and verse number 6. See, I don't want my heart and my life to be characterized by a sluggard. I don't want to be lazy. I don't want to be unproductive. I don't want to be unprofitable. I don't want to be a burden to people. I don't want my life to come to ruin and certain destruction. I don't want to lose my ability to maneuver and live. I don't want to be like that. I want to learn from God and His Word. And if I can identify the weeds growing in my heart and the garden of my soul, then I want, with God's help, to fix it. So the Bible says in chapter 6 and verse number 6, go to the ant, thou sluggard. Learn something from God's creation. We've learned from the sloth and the slug. That's not who we want to be. Go to the ant, thou sluggard. Consider her ways. Be wise. Which having no guide, overseer, or ruler. If you have to have somebody make you do what's right, you are a sluggard. You're slothful. Which having no guide, overseer, or ruler, provideth her meat in the summer. What do? They take care, the ant takes care of what needs to be taken care of today. Prone to procrastinate is something I have, especially something I don't want to do. But go to the ant. You know what the ant does? What needs to be done today, she does. She provideth her meat in the summer and gathereth her food in the harvest. What does she do? She does what needs to be done today and she plans for the future. She plans for what's next. No one bosses her around. She does what's necessary today. She does what's necessary for the future. She gathers her food in the harvest. The question now comes in verse 9. How long wilt thou sleep, O sluggard? When wilt thou arise out of thy sleep? When are you going to change? If God's convicted you of being a slothful person, when are you going to change? The message is this, you should change now. Why? Because in verse number 10, yet a little sleep. Isn't that familiar? We just read it. Chapter 26. I'm sorry, chapter number 24. Yet a little sleep. Why should I change now? Because a little sleep, a little slumber, a little folding of the hands to sleep. The Bible says, so shall thy poverty come as one that traveleth. I've quoted this verse for many years, and I've quoted it wrong. I've had one of those aha moments in preparation for this message. How many of you have ever quoted this verse of Scripture? A little sleep, a little slumber, a little folding your hands to sleep. So shall thy poverty come as one that travaileth. Wrong. Wrong. Traveleth. Traveleth. That word has nothing to do with travail. I'm not even sure if travail is a word. It sounds mean, doesn't it? Traveleth. So here's what the Bible says. A little sleep. Now we're going towards destruction. A little sleep, a little slumber, a little folding the hands in prayer. So shall thy poverty come as one that traveleth. It doesn't happen all of a sudden. You get there over time, one step at a time. You're traveling to that end. It happens over time, a little bit at a time. And the next thing you know, you have ruined and wasted your life. Your ruin comes as one that traveleth a step at a time. The Bible says that's not it. A little sleep, a little slumber, a little folding of the hands to sleep. So shall thy poverty come that one that traveleth. And the Bible says, as thy want and thy want as an armed man. You see, you've traveled along the way, you've traveled along the way, you've traveled along the way. And the next thing you know, you get there. And you're a slothful man. And the Bible says your want, it comes, I need to say it just right. Thy want comes as an armed man. So you go there step by step, until you get to the place you're there. And you're like you're being charged by an armed man. It comes gradually, but when it comes, it ends, you have no option. If the man puts the gun in your chest and says, give me your money or die, and he's serious, guess what happens? You give him your money or die. You're going to lose either way. And the Bible says that if you just keep going in this path, traveling, this path of slothfulness, your want comes as an armed man. You get to the place where there's no return. You're going to lose. You're going to lose. And that reminds me and brings us to this conclusion. May God help us not to be slothful. May God help us not to be a sluggard. May God help us not to give in a little. May God help us righteously to live a life of diligence, productivity, and determined to learn from the ant. I don't need a boss to make me do the right thing. I'm going to take care of what needs to be taken care of today with God's help. And with God's help, I'm going to take care and I'm going to prepare for my future. Because I don't want to be a slothful man. I want to be diligent. I want to be diligent. Are you traveling down the road to destruction? If you are, because of your slothfulness, I encourage you, with God's help, to turn to diligence, and you'll be so glad you did.